From round the corner
to your street and neighbourhood,
this is Dave for Breakfast.
Triple M Breakfast.
G'day, Dave for Breakfast here for your brekkie catch-up. This week's guests include Rural Aid Councillor Rainey Morgan, who explains the importance of asking someone if they're okay and how to respond if someone says they're not okay. Plus, we have a double dose of Narrogin CWA Belle Kay Weaver, who, along with all the CWA members, are celebrating 100 years as an organisation and talks about the difference of CWA back in the day compared to now. And then has a great recipe for meatballs.
It's Triple M Breakfast.
Getting a day going and feeling good.
This is Dave for Breakfast.
Time now to check in with a Rural Aid Councillor. We've got a very special guest. We've got Rainey Morgan. Good morning, Rainey.
Good morning, Dave.
We're so often used to protecting ourselves against anything and not wanting to be confronted by our own emotions, in the sense that we'll turn around and go, "Nah, mate, she's right. I'm all good. I'm okay." So what happens if you ask a friend or a colleague or somebody if they're okay and they say, "Yeah, no, I'm fine," but you get the suspicion that they're not?
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be, you know, a plethora of reasons that people don't want to reach out at that time. A lot of the time when people ask us how you're doing, or how you been going, or are you all right, it's, we want to be polite and not want to worry anyone. So we go, "Yeah, no, I'm all good, I'm all good." I think the important thing to do is, if they don't want to talk about it, is really don't pressure them too much. Don't criticise them if they don't want to. The best thing you can do is just tell them that you're concerned. Maybe you've noticed a change in their behaviour, or, you know, some things they've been saying have been a bit worrying to you, and just let them know that you're there and that you care for them. Sort of avoid any confrontation. You don't want to, you know, start an argument over it and sort of, you know, escalate the situation. But just let them know that you're always available for them if they want to give you a call and chat. Or maybe there's someone else they'd rather talk to, and say, you know, maybe you'd rather talk to your mum or a friend or a partner if you're more comfortable. But I'd like it if you either reached out to someone else or to myself when you're feeling up to it.
So on the flip side of that, if you ask a friend, a colleague, family member, anybody, if they're okay, and they turn around and go, "Actually, no, I'm not," how do you then respond to that? How should you respond to that?
Yeah, and I think when someone tells you they're not okay and they're really being honest with you about it, I think the first thing you can do is acknowledge it's a big thing for them to admit that, and sort of thank them for being open and honest. And you want to take what they say seriously, no matter what they're saying, and sort of don't interrupt them too much. Let them have that space just to chat, and, you know, don't rush the conversation. So I always like to make sure I've got a bit of time. You don't need hours and hours, but you know if you've got to go to work or you've got to be somewhere really important, you want to make sure you've actually got the time, the space, and the mental space for you also to take on board what they're saying. And so, you know, don't judge what they're saying or react really negatively to what they're telling you. They might tell you some really heavy stuff, and so it's okay just to take that on board, but acknowledging what they're going through. So give them time to sit and think. Be okay with the silence, I think, is a big one. If they need a moment, be okay with just letting them have that. Don't feel like you have to fill the conversation, and just let them talk. Get them to explain why they're feeling like that. So how are you feeling that? How are you feeling about that? And also a big one is, how long have you been feeling like this? So has this just been something that's the last couple of days? Has it been a couple of weeks? You know, how long have you been sitting with these feelings? And, you know, is there any reason that you're feeling like this? I think would be some really important things to ask. And, you know, show that you're listening to them. So repeat back what they've said, ask questions. And then I think at the end of the conversation, it's always a good thing to sort of, you know, check in with the conversation that was been had, just to make sure you've properly understood what they've said.
So what then happens if you get the feeling that this could be going a little bit deeper and a little bit further than perhaps you're prepared to go, or even qualified to go? Like, is there somewhere that you can go and seek advice as well?
Absolutely there is. So I would suggest that if this person is bringing up thoughts of harming themselves, there are some thoughts of suicide or anything like that, and you're very worried, I would encourage always getting them to talk to a professional sort of pretty immediately. So that would be Lifeline on 13, 11, 14 would be a fantastic place to start. I think asking them the question, how long have you been feeling like this, is always a really important question to ask, because we know that if someone has been having thoughts of being anxious or depressed or down or having trouble sleeping, anything like that, if we're seeing those emotions or behaviour last longer than 2 weeks, that's when we would encourage them to go see a health professional. And I always recommend the first place would be your GP. And that might be a conversation of that you go with them and support them in that journey as well.
Excellent advice there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Rainey. Before I let you go, anything else?
Just check in on your mates. Check in on your mates, even if, you know, they're happy all the time. They, you know, they look like they've got their life together. They're excelling in work. Check on those people especially, but just love each other.
Thanks for joining us this morning, Rainey.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Rainey Morgan from Rural Aid. It's Triple M
Breakfast. Getting your day going and feeling good.
This is Day for Breakfast.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome in one of the Narrogin CWA Bells. Good morning, Kay Weaver.
Good morning, David.
How are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you.
That's good. Now, CWA is celebrating a massive milestone. They're celebrating 100 years.
Yes, 100 years. It's a long, long time.
That certainly is a long time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what is it that keeps it going so strong?
I think it's the connection between women. It started as a way for women in the country to have access to each other and to the community. And it's developed for many, many years. It's gotten... people probably don't need quite that much connection now. They can make those connections outside of CWA. It isn't the only day in the month you go to town, which it was. Ladies used to dress up. It was their big day out. It isn't like that now. But women still need those connections with each other and for the family and to share things, particularly when you're living out on a farm, perhaps you're a little bit isolated. And even if you're living in town, but you just feel isolated so that you don't think anyone cares much about you, here's a group of women who will care about you. And in the process of doing that, of course, there's a lot of constructive things done for the community. People are always out to improve the situation and improve our access in the rural communities to be similar to the access for women in Perth or in Sydney or wherever.
Absolutely. And of course, they're a massive organisation that brings, like you said, the women together, but also they bring a lot of the communities together as well and are a part of a lot of different community groups. I can remember my grandmother, when she was alive and active in the CWA, she'd be part of, like, you know, the knitting club. She'd be part of the crochet club. She'd be part of the cooking club. And just things like that that got the, as you said, got the women together to socialise and be active.
That's right, and to support each other.
Mm.
One of the good things about living in the rural community is if you have a big issue, everybody knows about it and people can actually rally around. That, of course, can also be a disadvantage. And if you're going to have a big affair, everybody's going to know about it. But, but if you've got cancer and you're feeling really bad, people in the community will know and they will help you and they'll be available to you should you need help, which is a huge factor in people's lives.
So you were saying that, like, you know, originally the whole point of CWA was to get the women together because it was their, you know, their one day of going to town. What do they do now as a CWA group? I suppose, like, you know, you've got all the social media that's available. People can connect a lot easier than they could previously.
It's quite interesting that people still wish the physical contact as well as also, I mean, we all have social media, we all email our friends. You can zip off to Perth and go to a function or go to the beach. That was one of the big things in the beginning, was getting children to learn to swim, people, families to have access to the beach. That's where all those beach cottages came from. Those sorts of things. You can do that now quite easily. You've all got cars, you've all got easy access to everything. But it's still, I think, that people still require the physical contact with other people to really, you know, support each other. Plus, there's still an awful lot of community engagement and community work done. Some of the older groups, the ladies just meet and have a cup of tea and a nice afternoon tea and a chat, and that's fine. That's part of it. But a lot of the perhaps younger groups are very active in the community, doing things, making money for helping people with disabilities or something like that, anything that they choose. They're also meeting people from other towns and other groups, because that's now an area that's much easier to do. It was a time when it was a very big deal to go to, say, from Narrogin, would be a very big deal to go to Wickapen and have an afternoon tea. Now, of course, you can actually take a trip to Kambalda or somewhere as a group. But, yeah, there's still a lot of money raised, projects completed and things like that. So very valuable in the community.
So is it hard finding new members, getting new, getting younger ladies or anybody involved in the CWA, or is it's very easy to?
No. It's always difficult in any volunteer association to find new members, and the CWA has the same issue. Sadly, a lot of people still see the CWA as constantly wandering about was one thing, and I can't think of the other one, something about people nattering all the time. But, you know, it was sort of a little bit something to, you know, funny old ladies having afternoon tea. And so younger people who don't need the access to the beach and the access to their friends, that was the beginning feature, wouldn't necessarily think of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they don't want to help and it's that they don't want to be involved. It's that they probably don't consider the CWA. They're looking at sporting groups and, you know, there's so many community organisations. Mm. It's pretty hard to choose. And so a little bit difficult for them. But you still want to make sure that they understand that the organisation is still there, still functional and still, you know, really doing well in the community, and that they could be part of that.
Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning, Kay. It's an absolute pleasure talking to you, and congratulations to the CWA, the Country Women's Association, that is celebrating 100 years.
Thank you very much. It's Triple M
Breakfast. Getting a day going and feeling good.
This is Day for Breakfast.
Get those taste buds burning. We've got with us to talk about CWA recipes. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning, David.
The old meatballs and tomato.
Yes. Yeah, a good standard thing. Very, very tasty.
Yum. Yeah. Well, let's talk us through this one, Kay.
So just get a kilo of mince and one of those 500-gram packets of sausage meat, which will actually make the mince hold together better when you shape it. Use the same thing if you're doing a meatloaf too. Always put sausage meat with your mince. Just takes its form better. And, of course, it cooks very quickly. And possibly 250 grams of bacon. But you can put more in if you like bacon. If your family are bacon addicts, then put more in, you know. A couple of eggs. That's going to hold them together. And then do onions, garlic, maybe four cloves, fair bit. And then vegetables, perhaps a half a large capsicum, three sticks of celery. See, all these things depend on the size of what it is. You can get sticks of celery maybe 12 centimetres long, or you can buy a head of celery and have one that's 20 centimetres long. So how many sticks you put in is going to be according to how much you like celery. And two or three carrots, chopped up, and lots of fresh tomatoes if you've got them. If you haven't, you can substitute canned tomatoes. Don't try and use diced canned tomatoes. If possible, they do put a something in those tins which stops them from turning into mush. In this sort of a thing where you're creating a sauce, you want them to be mushy, so use crushed tomatoes or whole tomatoes. So to start with, you're going to brown your onions until they're clear and then, you know, starting to caramelise, and just set them aside. And you brown the bacon, the garlic, diced capsicum, grated carrot, mushrooms, I forgot to mention mushrooms, finely diced celery. So brown that so it's fairly well cooked, and then add it to the onions, and then combine the mince, the sausage meat, all the vegetables all together once they've cooled and burn your hands, and 2 eggs so that they all stick together nicely, and then form them into meatballs on a little bit of flour so that it doesn't stick to your hands too much. And then refrigerate the meatballs for at least 4 hours, preferably overnight, but 4 hours or so, just so they hold together, because often you'll find if you start turning meatballs that you've just made, they have a tendency to fall apart. So that's the only purpose for that. So the sauce, either peel the fresh tomatoes, and if you're having trouble getting the peel off a tomato, put it in a bowl and cover it in hot water, like boiling water, for a couple of minutes, and the peel will start to come off. And then you can just pull them off rather than trying to actually peel them, which is quite complicated, and cut them up, dice them up. Combined with how many cans of crushed tomatoes you need, we haven't always got 3 kilos of fresh tomatoes, so you build it up with the canned stuff. Add herbs, any herbs you've got, rosemary, basil, oregano, all those sorts of things that go nicely with tomatoes, and season. So then you add your meatballs to an oiled pan, so they've got a little bit of oil under them. To be cooked, add the tomatoes, and you can cook them on top of the stove or you can put them in the oven, whichever way you like. Do turn them occasionally so that the meatballs don't stick. A little bit of a stir. Keep an eye on it. It's not a dish that you need to, you know, sort of go away from, because you don't want the tomatoes to stick.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to cook at a fairly moderate heat and with a fair amount of tension. You can't just put it on and leave it. But it does make a delicious meat meal. And then, of course, you can put vegetables or salad, whatever you like to serve it with.
Fantastic. So that's meatballs and tomato sauce. Oh, that's got the mouth buds going very nicely there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Kay.
Thank you.
It's Triple M Breakfast.
Getting a day going and feeling good.
This is Day for Breakfast.
Well, that's it for another week. Do join me either weekdays from 6 on the Great Southern's Triple M or here on the Brekkie Catch-Up end of next week.